You're listening to Cinema Geekly Premium, premium podcast from premium people. Thanks for your support.
Today we are canceling the apocalypse!
A new day.
You're damn right.
What if everybody started saying that?
Dawson would tremble.
Everyone's gonna think you're going nuts.
Want mass panic.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
The laugh is fabulous. Use that.
It's another episode of the Cinema Geekly Gotham podcast. I'm Anthony Lewis.
And I'm Glenn Beauvais. And that title will not change.
No, it will not. It will improve when the show improves. So until then, this is the, if you're brand new to this particular podcast on Cinema Geekly Premium, this is the podcast where we sit down and discuss Gotham on Fox. The, I don't know, as Ben Knight was calling it, Penguin's Creek or Batman Babies.
Batman Babies, yeah, so we could do Muppet Babies.
It is the, I guess, a prequel to all of the Batman stories that we've ever known or loved, and it focuses on young rookie detective Jim Gordon and his partner, and we should talk about the first season. All of the episodes from the first season are up on the premium website. If you're listening to this, you're a premium subscriber, so you can go back and listen to them. But if you've decided you're just going to hop on the second season, Glenn, why don't you kind of give your overview on the first season, what you thought about it?
What I thought about it, it was like a wooden roller coaster. And by I have to say wooden. Because...
And that it's charming?
No, like a steel roller coaster, you can do more with it. It definitely goes higher. It goes faster.
I see.
So it wasn't that exciting. It was more of like a wooden roller coaster just kind of beats the shit out of you. Like it really hurts when you get off of that ride. And that's kind of how this one went. It just felt like emotionally it just kind of beat me down in a lot of ways. Because as it's been stated several times, Batman is my favorite. It's something I care about a lot. And it's the thing I've read the most of and invested the most time in. So a lot of things they do, which are small things, but something such as making Tommy Elliot be Bruce Wayne's sort of bully, but a baby back bitch is really disingenuous of what he is.
Sure.
And that kind of stuff, which we'll talk, because there's things like that that happen in this episode. Well, there's one thing specifically that happens in this episode that really irritated me, and it's something we brought up before, but it has to do with the Riddler.
The show, I think, had a lot of promise and hype going into it, obviously coming off of the heels of the Nolan Batman movies and all of the Batman Superman talk. The show debuted pretty strongly. I think it did about 8 million viewers. And then it went on a pretty steady decline until it leveled out around high fours, low fives, something like that. I think it rebounded a little bit for the season finale last year. I agree with you, sir. It was kind of a rigid show that never really truly picked up steam and got me interested. It had interesting characters at times. It had characters that were very wobbly, where they would be interesting one week and annoying the next week.
Except for Penguin.
Except for Penguin. Penguin was one of the very few consistent characters on the show. And Bullock was fairly consistent, although he was, you know, a side character. And I think Alfred, we all agreed, was pretty great as well. Sean Pertwee's Alfred was pretty good, but... again, that was a character we didn't see a lot of. As far as main characters go, Penguin was basically the only consistent one, and everybody else was kind of up and down, depending on the week.
Or just down. Like, I don't think we ever enjoyed a Bruce Wayne moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care about this show as much as I care about Doctor Who. When we did the retrospective on Who Made Who for the eighth series, I actually went back and tallied all of the scores and averaged them out, and we talked about the episodes we rated highest and the episodes we rated lowest. Because I don't really care about Gotham that much, it hasn't earned that position of respect for me. I have not gone back to average our scores together or to figure out which episodes we liked more.
I'm gonna say it's like a 2.5, 3 is what.
Yeah, I was gonna say the average is probably a 3 somewhere around there. There was a lot of average scores we gave to that show in the first season, and a few below average, and I believe one or two that were pretty decently scored, I want to say. But those were kind of few and far between. So we are now beginning the second season, and it looks like it's part one of a 3-part, I guess, mini arc at the beginning of the season, based off of the titles for episodes 1 through 3, because they all have the colons, do they not?
Yeah, the Rise of the Villains thing.
As they say in England. So yeah, I guess we're gonna kick it off. We're gonna talk about the season 2 premiere, season 2, episode 1 of Gotham, called "Rise of the Villains: Damned If You Do." All right, so we start out with Gordon, who was fired by Commissioner Loeb for his role in Carmine Falcone's escape, which was that actually touched on in the season finale last year?
Not really, because the finale was just Penguin throwing Fish Mooney over the edge and the worst Wilhelm scream I've ever heard.
Oh, wait, now, I'm pretty sure I was watching this from the beginning. Was there actually a scene where Gordon was fired by Loeb, or is this just, like, after Loeb had already fired? There was no scene to just... We just see Jim Gordon, and he's a traffic cop.
Yeah, he's a traffic cop, and then Loeb fires him for pushing another cop.
This man changes his job position so many times.
They're trying to break him, man. That's trying to break him, Jim.
I guess we should really start at the beginning, because Wikipedia does not begin where the actual series began for this season, which is right where we left off with little Bruce Wayne finding the Batcave, and there is a keypad at the bottom of the steps for a door, and he just is punching random numbers in, and nothing is working, and he is frustrated that he cannot get in to this room. And then we cut to 1 month later, where we see Jim Gordon as the traffic cop. So he is still determined to clean up the corruption in the police department. There is a scene where a fat, LARPing cosplay guy drinks some sort of potion, and I correct me if I'm wrong here, Glenn, but I believe he thinks he is that weird ghostly face in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers show. Or is that Zardon, not Zordon?
I think it's, yeah, whichever one. I thought he said Zardos at first, and I was like, man, that's really funny. But he wasn't a giant head shooting out guns and ammo, so...
Yeah, Zardon the Destroyer, the Annihilator of Souls and whatnot, goes out onto the street and is causing all sorts of problems when Jim Gordon tries to arrest him, and another cop gets in his way, and it's a lazy-ass police officer who's not taking his job seriously, and that's where Jim gets into his trouble and gets fired as a result. Zardon then gets hauled off to Arkham Asylum, where we meet Barbara Keene, a.k.a., well, maybe never Barbara Gordon at this point, the way this fucking show is going. She's in the asylum as well, because as everyone remembers last season, she went nuts and tried to kill Lee, Jim's new flame. And
her phone call was just...
Yeah. She's, we'll get to that. She's also in there with, what's his name? The Joker.
Jerome.
What's
Jerome, but yeah.
I hope his last name is Oker. Like J. Oker.
I don't know why can't they just use Jack Napier? Like, just use
it. That's a way cooler name too.
Yeah.
Jerome. Maybe they'll call him Jack for short, even though Jack is not short for
Jerry. Jerry, to start calling him Jerry.
Jerry. Hello, Jerry. So anyway, Gordon decides to go to Cobblepot, who is now Gotham City's kingpin of crime. In fact, there is a bit of a musical montage at the beginning, which not only establishes this, but also establishes that Victor Zsasz is working for Cobblepot as well, as he gleefully blows a dude's head off. So Gordon comes to him and asks him for this deal. He says he wants Loeb gone, and he wants Gordon reinstated. And Cobblepot says he's going to do it, and he will replace Loeb with Essen. But Gordon has to do him a favor. He has to get some money back that belongs to him. Let me see here. So in the asylum, we've got Barbakine, we've got Amygdala, we've got Jerome Oker, and a couple of other goons. Are those people characters of note, or are they just people?
I wasn't really paying attention enough to care who they were.
It says here Richard Sionis.
Yeah, well, he was the guy in the first season, that billionaire that had, like, the Office Space Battle Royale.
Oh, yeah, Black Mask.
Yeah, he's Black Mask's dad.
And Robert Greenwood. They meet Zardon, who passes out and smoke comes billowing out of his mouth.
Blue smoke.
And everyone in the room passes out. And Tabitha Gallivan comes bursting in through the walls, taking out police officers and shit like that. Apparently in the comic books, she is Tigress. In the books, and she takes all of these people to Theo Gallivan, a criminal mastermind, and basically he wants to form some sort of, not a suicide squad, Glenn, but some other form of squad,
a murder
team, hyperforce, something along those lines. They all agree to join forces with Gallivan to wreak havoc on Gotham, except for Sionis, who is then murdered for his refusal. Jim goes to retrieve this money from some underboss and gets the money, but not before murdering said underboss. And Jim gets the money back to Penguin, and Penguin, I guess, lives up to his part of the deal and puts Essen in place of Loeb, and Gordon is reinstated as a detective. Meanwhile, at Wayne Manor, Bruce has decided that he's just going to try to break this fucking padlock.
Yeah, he's got to open up the hatch. I mean,
yeah.
Sorry, wrong show.
He can't do it. Well, that's because he doesn't know the numbers, Glenn. He doesn't know what the numbers mean, so it's going to be hard for him to open the hatch. That was another lost
reference. No, I know.
Anyway, Bruce decides he's going to build a bomb to open the door, and Alfred is like, what? That's a crazy idea. And then Bruce is like, well, I'm going to do it. And then Alfred says, okay, well, you're going to need help. So they make a bomb.
Well, he's just like, well, you're going to need more fertilizer. You're going to need help. I'll just do it. You know, he basically just says, fuck it. You know?
Yeah.
I've already scarred this kid for life with my parenting skills. What's making a bomb going
to
do?
And then they blow open the door to the Batcave where, presumably, I don't know, where there is a letter sitting on a keyboard, which, by the way, this computer equipment does not look nearly old enough to have the sheer amount of cobwebs.
Oh, dude, I know, totally. Like, the thing is,
his dad wasn't even dead that long. Like, how on earth was
maybe 7 months? I mean, it's only a month since we left off, which was, I hate when they do, like, it's like they just threw out a number for the time jump, and that was really annoying to me.
It was really strange. But he blows all the dust off of this letter. It's a letter from his dad, who I think was expecting him to open the door long after. You know, he wasn't expecting Bruce to open it this early, based off of the letter. It's really weird because he's like, you know, I've been feeling kind of morbid lately, and I think I'm going to die. Which is weird in and of itself. He's like, so I've decided to leave you this creepy letter, where he's basically telling Bruce to, you know, when he has a true
call. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Be happy and get a family, because you're going to take the red pill if you keep going, and don't do that.
He also learns that the password was Bruce. World's greatest detective, my ass. All of the things he tried, he didn't think his dad would use his first name as a password. How could he have not have tried that? Like, the first thing you do is try, like, first names, last names, phone numbers, social security numbers, like, birthday.
I kind of like that he didn't get it.
Maybe. I don't know.
I kind of enjoyed it, because it was, to me, it was... I don't know. It seemed fitting, given what they're going with this. I am Bruce Wayne, the robot child.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made sense to me that he wasn't thinking in like a lot of emotional terms.
Yeah, how people love other people.
Yeah, and that was kind of, to me, like, I kind of got it. So that was, I didn't mind it so much. I was kind of like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so that was the episode. What did you think of Rise of the Villains? Damned if you do.
I can comfortably say I like this episode better than any episode last season.
Okay.
A lot of things I felt like we asked for in the show. We asked for Gordon to kind of cross that line. Maybe not cross that line, but he needed to be a little bit more gray than he was. Just pure, I'm a good man, blah, blah, blah. Like, his character wasn't interesting because you can't relate to him. He's a freaking cyborg. He's basically a monk eunuch. Like, it just doesn't, it can't relate to him on any front. So I liked what they did. I thought it was poorly executed, but I'm glad they did it, because I felt like his character needed, because now instantly, like, the moment that happened, he became a little bit more interesting. Now his rise to the top is going to be a lot more, there's gonna be a lot more struggle, because those lines are going to become more defined and a lot easier for him to trip over. Even though I found this episode to be pretty entertaining, why is Barbara Keene still in this show? And while we're on the same note, like, why is Catwoman in the show? Like,
well,
the biggest problem is, why was Catwoman allowed to, everyone clears out, even his right hand man, and the furthest person at the very far end of the table is the one allowed to stay. Yeah. Well, Gordon breaks down, basically puts everything out on the line, including his dignity, with Penguin as far as getting a deal done, and she's allowed to be there. I mean, and this is a case of they didn't have anything for her to do, so we need to put her in there because we're paying her as a regular cast member.
Yeah, this is a pattern we discovered last season where Selena's in this scene just to remind you that she's still on the show.
Like, she's, what, 14, 15? Yeah. So they're not paying her that much anyways.
Right.
I say not much. I think it's probably 15,000 an episode. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, if you want, even if you're having as a regular cast member, like, she's not that expensive to just kind of hang around. I don't know why. I don't think she's any good. Like, I don't think she's going to get gobbled up in a new show if you have her as a guest star.
Right.
She doesn't need to be in there every week. I liked the Bullock and Gordon moment when he's in the bar.
Oh, that's right. We didn't even mention that. Bullock is now also jobless.
Yeah, he's a bartender with a girl, and he goes home and sleeps at night, even though he's a bartender and probably wouldn't be going home till 4 o'clock at night.
No, but he doesn't drink anymore either. His life has improved.
He's improved. And I liked their moment together. To me, it didn't feel earned, because I never felt like at the end of the show they were particularly best for life.
You're right. That was weird.
It was weird. I mean, I liked it, but it didn't make sense given the whole scope of what is happening in this show.
Sure.
It didn't feel earned. Hold on. Okay, he's a Black Mask. Now he has a motive since his father got murdered. He got hacked to pieces.
Indeed.
I want to talk about that at the end because it was like the best thing. I liked the dad note letter, even though it was creepy. The happiness and truth thing. Reminded me of the first trailer whenever Arkham Knight was announced. And it was his dad reading a note, his like will and testament to him.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. It hit a lot of the notes that kind of is good. Like, it's, you know, now you're starting to believe Bruce Wayne as a character. Now we're giving motivations externally instead of just internal process and supposed to go on faith. This is what Bruce Wayne's doing because he's Bruce Wayne. Like, okay, now we're seeing things that are adding layers to why Bruce Wayne is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
There's moments they did I really like. But, oh my God, this whole Barbara thing, like you already said it, like, they're making the Suicide Squad, and she's going to be Harley Quinn.
Yeah, that is actually all I could think of watching this, like, from the moment she entered with, like, when they showed that
shot of her. Beauty and desire. Like, oh, okay, she's Harley Quinn.
Yeah. We don't have, like, the...
Being up to the Joker. I mean, it's just, goddamn.
By the way, she has, basically, I looked at it like this. If I stop thinking about this show as like a Batman show, I think I'm going to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, totally.
Jim Gordon killing a guy, like, I don't know, like, in cold blood like that. That's something that would, I don't know, that should, like, affect him horribly and, like, put him at odds with Batman. Who just, you know, he murdered somebody because he just wanted his job back, essentially. Like, he's a horrible fucking person.
Those are the kind of things that when he's older, that's what gives him that experience. And that's kind of what gives him that shoulder for Batman to kind of lean on as a sage advice. Like, they're never going to see eye to eye in a lot of things, but the reason, like, okay, so if Gordon's killing somebody in cold blood... Mm-hmm. Later on, I'm not saying the show's going to go there, even though that kid who plays Bruce Wayne, man, he sure did mature in a month. he is, you know, later on when he becomes Batman, you know, you could look back onto something like that to give a reason why he would allow someone to dress up like a bat and, you know, Perhaps. Beat the crap out of people.
Barbara Keene at this point is utterly irredeemable.
No! How are they going to get married? How?
No, yeah, I will never believe it in a million years.
She's crazy! And you want him to be the commissioner if he's going to marry a whack job like that?
Like, she's completely insane, and she's got the run of that room that she's in. And then, I don't remember if it's Sionis or Robert Greenwood that she's talking to, where she's like, I need a phone, and...
Sionis is the one who's like, I have powerful people, what are you going to do for it? And I'm assuming she becomes his girlfriend for it.
Yeah, well, because basically she's like, well, you know, she's like, what do I need to do? And he says, it depends on how bad you want a phone, which basically sounds to me like, if you want a phone, you'll fuck me. And yes. The next scene we see is her with a phone. So it's obvious that she, what she was willing to do to get the phone. Just to talk to Jim, and she talks to Jim to tell Jim that Lee is the crazy one and that you need to watch her back.
I never told her I killed my parents.
Yeah.
You didn't need to. We kind of got the idea.
Yeah. And then Jim hangs up on her, and then she calls the house phone. What is the voicemail she leaves for Lee? I don't quite recall.
She's like, hey, Lee, it's your girl Barbara, your best friend, and blah, blah, blah. I hope you're having a good life. I hope you're happy. And by the way, I hope you fucking die, bitch.
Like, yeah, that is what she says, yes.
And I really enjoyed her in this episode. It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, I'm just going to have to look at this clean slate. It's not a Batman show. They just happen to have a lot of similarities.
Yeah. She's never going to be Barbara Gordon.
There's no way. It's like, so if Jim gets married or something later on, you know, this isn't a Severus Snape. Like, we're not going to get a teardrop and be able to see her story. Yeah. And to believe Gorin to ever name a child after her.
Yes.
Because
not happening.
She has gone way off the deep end. I mean, I'm loving it. At this point, it's fun.
Yeah.
Because she's not so damn vanilla. Like, her uptightness that you saw at the beginning. Like, when you first see her, I'm like, oh, God, this is really what we're going to get. But when you see her in there, like, she's kind of got some range. Like, she was really vulnerable. Yeah. She was really powerful. She was stuck up. Like, I think she's going to be fun this season.
Oh, I liked her better, yeah.
I don't think marriage, there's no way that should be an option at all.
No, they've got to be turning her.
Unless he really wants that money. That would be the only
thing. I guess. Anytime I get to see Victor Zsasz, I'm pretty happy. That scene with the dude's head.
Oh, dude, Zsasz and Penguin? Yeah, that's why I said I wanted to save that for last, because it was the best thing I've seen in a long time.
It was quite good. The show feels weirder without Fish Mooney or Falcone or you know, any, like, those characters are all gone now.
I don't know. It feels more grounded now.
Yeah, it feels tighter a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Even though the cast expanded. I don't know if you noticed, but the name just kept going.
Oh, yes.
And then the weird thing for me was that the guy who plays the Joker, Cameron Moynihan, is a guest star, where all I ever saw ads for were
him.
Oh, Joker, man, he's going to be on the main show. And I was just expecting him to be in the main cast now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're, you know, they're just not willing to go all in and just make him a regular cast member, or they're going to be like, hey, we're going to run a couple episodes. We'll see how it is. And then you'll be gone for a few. And then we'll bring you back and keep you in the main cast like they did Inara last year.
And my feeling is that he's going to be around for this three-part deal. And then they all get locked back up again. And then we move forward with episodes, presumably. Mm-hmm. But it's a little hard to tell. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Well, the guy running the show is in the main cast.
Right.
The guy who bust him out, James Frain. He is in the main cast, so.
Hmm.
I just thought that was strange if his master plan is to unleash crazy people, which isn't the first time this has happened in Gotham.
No.
And a lot of people think that he's Ra's al Ghul, which, again, that's not the first time Ra's al Ghul has not, you know, he's done that in comics, so if he turns out to be him, yay.
What else stuck out to you in this episode, good or bad? I know you wanted to talk about Penguin and Zsasz, so.
I mean, no, I liked this episode. I kind of wish it made, you know how Arrow kind of, this last season kind of erased a lot of things for the worse. I hope this show erases a lot of things it did in the first season for the better.
Mm-hmm.
If this first episode is any indication, like, I feel like I'm going to enjoy it. At the very least, this episode was entertaining. I was really entertained. It was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the Bruce Wayne scenes. They were pointless. but I liked the banter with him and Alfred, like, busting down the door when Alfred's just like, whatever, you know, I know how to make a bomb. I'm just going to make a bomb. Or Bruce Wayne, like, I've read it. It doesn't seem very hard. Like, oh.
Okay, I laughed out loud when...
I can see a young Bruce Wayne thinking that. It makes... So some of these things are coming to fruition. It may have just been the break from the writer's room and just kind of coming back and seeing what they needed to do better. But I know, I hope... And again, I'm going to continue to have modest expectations. But if the show continues like this, at the very least, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I laughed out loud when Elf chastised him and said, "Don't speak French to me."
that was so good.
I laughed out loud. I thought that was awesome. he's just completely enjoyable. There was like a weird scene where after Gordon was fired, it was just weird. He's like, "Hey, I just stopped by Wayne Manor to let you know that
it didn't make any sense.
I'm fired and I can't solve your case like I promised." And Bruce,
why did they dress him up like John Wick?
That is weird, right? The weirder thing is Bruce's response, which is okay. He didn't give a shit.
I like how that was the thing. Like, he's the one who pointed out, like, so you're only doing it because of your pride. Oh, all right, yeah, you're gonna help a lot of people with that, aren't you? Like, that was That was good. You can see where they're going to have some differences. I liked that.
Sure.
But the whole, I'm going to apologize to you for not finding, like, I thought we resolved that a long time ago. I thought Bruce said, like, hey, you don't have to keep your promise because you're not doing it. I am. Like, I thought that was over and done with. That was kind of, right. But again, they had to do it because he had to connect them. So it's one of those. I'm sure that was a note from the heads.
Yeah.
The business people like, how come there's no scene where Bruce Wayne talks to anybody else?
Yeah. No,
we need that. We need him to go there.
Like, put Catwoman in the
scene. Yeah, keep her in there.
Get her in the cell.
Yeah, I was going to make a really bad joke, but I'm not going to. Oh, so, whatever. Like 20 people are going to listen to this. Yeah, so I guess like one of the heads is Jared Fogle. I guess that's the whole reason why Catwoman gets to stay around.
So let's... Good Lord. So let's speculate real quick before we grade this episode.
We didn't get to talk about our favorite scene.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Do the scene.
It's so good. Okay. With see, have you ever seen the movie Smoke and Aces?
No, I have not.
There's a scene, spoiler alert, where Ben Affleck just gets mowed down. Like, he's dead in, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie. It's funny, because he sets the framework. Like, he tells you everything that's who each character is, what's happening, and then he just gets... He's just in a parking lot and just gets mowed down by a pre-famous, really crazy-looking, like, clown posse follower, just... redneck hillbilly. It kind of looks like a guy. It kind of looks like the main character or the cover character of Borderlands.
Yeah,
and it's Chris Pine who does it. This is before like his big
famousness.
Break.
Yeah,
and he's the one who kills him. And whenever Ben Affleck's on the ground and he starts moving his lips and he's talking back and forth to him.
Yeah,
like he did the exact same thing Zaz did, and I know it's been done a lot, but it's probably a gag that's never going to get old to me. Like, it's still funny, because it's so wrong, but it's just too perfect. And Zad's just like, hey, boss, can you get me a bottle of beer? Like,
yeah.
And it's just, and then, like, the way Zad's like, just let me kill him. And the Penguin just, like, you know, just keeps pushing low further and further. Like, that was very well written, and it was acted perfectly. I'm like, you could just tell those two were just feeding off of each other. Oh, yeah. And the fact that Zaz, I think, is in the main cast now, I hope there's a That's ton awesome. Of scenes of them together, because it is going to be so good. Now, if we could only get the Alfred Bullock cop episode to coincide with them, like if Penguin and Zaz can be in the same scene together with just Alfred and Bullock and have witty banter against each other, that'd probably be the greatest thing ever. But I don't Agreed. Know if we'll get that, but no, it was just, it was so damn good. That was such a good scene.
Agreed. Okay, so do we want to speculate on what that room is that Bruce Wayne found?
It didn't look big.
It didn't, yeah, I was going to say, it didn't look huge.
Maybe each season there's another door he has to. It would be really stupid if they do it again. But if they do it at the end of every season finale and we get 7 seasons, by the time the 6th finale rolls around, it'd be really funny.
Yeah, that it's the Bat.
Oh, this room's a garage. Oh, this is where the Batmobile will be one day. This room has a river that goes through it at the bottom of the cave. Oh, that's where the bat boat's gonna be. Oh, here's a skylight. Oh, that's where the bat plane's gonna be. Like, I mean, it's something like that, I really hope so. If it's something as corny and cheesy as a bad video game.
I mean, do you find it? Is it? Do you think it's plausible that they'll reveal that Bruce Wayne was Batman? Bruce Wayne's father was Batman. I mean. Is that a possibility to you, or?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, we only saw him for like 2 seconds before he got his head blown off.
Or that maybe his father wasn't Batman, perhaps, but maybe like
detective stuff. Maybe the paper trail thing makes sense. I mean, that's kind of what they've always kind of hinted that,
like Gray Ghost or something like that.
Yeah, maybe something like that. It may not be like a vigilante fighting crime kind of thing. Right. But he may have been trying, I mean...
Digging up dirt.
Yeah, he may have just been trying to do a lot of things that he knew he was going to die, but maybe his son could, you know... one day his son could save Gotham kind of thing, which is
a little weird for him to think of it that way, but
yeah, I mean, they're rich people. They're aloof. I mean, they're a little.
They're suffering.
Plain.
They're suffering from affluenza. It's a disease. I believe that's been proven in a court of law in this country. So, yeah, it's possible they're just so rich and powerful they just assume that this is something they can do. It just turns out that they're right in this case, that eventually Bruce does grow up to be able to mostly save the city. By and large. I mean, he never really stops criminals for good, and they always seem to be escaping.
That's why he's never going to be happy. He's always going to be fighting for that truth.
What a fool.
I didn't like this truth, though. I wish it was like... I don't want to say justice, because that is super hokey.
Yeah.
But I didn't think truth should have been the other option.
Yeah.
Because that was basically like... He basically just said ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is, but...
Yeah, it is, but I thought the message could have been a little bit better.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you're right. I'm not really sure what you could substitute in there for that, but...
No, they kind of wrote themselves into a corner, but...
I mean, either way, I don't know, because, like, you could be happy or you can face reality.
Yeah.
Which is... kind of a shitty way of saying it's impossible for anyone to ever be happy, I guess. Like, is that what he's saying? Like, you can choose to be happy or you can choose to know truth. And I guess what his dad is saying is there's no happiness in truth, I guess.
No, I mean, it was a good, like, it was a good seed to be planted. Not yes. A seed as in, like, give me $10. Yeah. But you can give us 12, tell your friends to give us $12.
That's right. That would be a good seed to plant.
A seed of good faith for more podcasting.
That's right.
Watch
it grow into more podcasts.
Oh, don't worry. When Legends of Tomorrow comes out, it'll be more podcasts. Sure.
I don't know how we're gonna do that. All right, let's grade this episode, Glenn. What would you score this here first episode of season 2 of Gotham?
I guess since I said the best episode, you know, that I've seen so far and better than last year, I think the highest we ever went last year was a 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say a 4. Like, there, if I really want to break it down, was this episode that great? No. But compared to the other ones, it was, I thought...
You had fun.
...far and away.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it was fun. So yeah, a very soft 4.
Okay. I'm giving this episode a very solid and stern 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You're right, it was fun. And they did manage to take Barbara, a character that I absolutely loathed, because I presumed she was going to end up with Jim. And they were doing a horrible job of making me like this character, but now that I'm presuming that they've abandoned all hope of this, they've made her... She's softened in my eyes a little bit, and she's a bit more interesting. We'll see kind of how it goes. But it is the first episode. I'm very hesitant to give it too much praise off the bat, because, like I said, it feels like it's going to be part of at least 2 more episodes, and I got to see how those kind of play out, or at least get an idea of how they're going to play out, and I don't know, we'll kind of go from there, I suppose. So this show, it appears, is going to be back next week. I'm hoping there aren't going to be any weird breaks that pop up. It's now that the fall season has sort of officially kicked off, I guess. Now I've got to try to figure out when all these other damn shows are going to be starting, and I've already, like, this is the second or third week in a row that I've missed Fear the Walking Dead when it actually airs, and it was not until Aurora mentioned something in the office thread that I even realized the show had been on and that I had missed it, and that's a show I've been enjoying so far, so I'm terrified about Flash and Arrow starting. And apparently, Legends of Tomorrow does not start until...
February?
Next year, so... Good lord. Okay, I mean, yeah, I think we already discussed how weird that seems.
I know, and we're like, the thing is, like, I'm gonna watch Last Man on Earth, and we're never gonna talk about it, and that's something I thoroughly enjoyed.
But Better Call Saul will be returning, I think, at some point, so...
It will be returning in February, when, Legends of Tomorrow comes back.
So we'll have a palate cleanser.
Yeah, I guess we'll be doing 3 a week instead of 2. You're right. With 2 extra shows coming that month.
Good Lord.
Oh,
you're,
dear God.
You're getting your $12 worth, everybody. Maybe we should up this to $100. I don't know. We'll see. Gotham's not off. Gotham is off to a better start than it was last season. So we shall see. All right. So Glenn and I will be back next week talking season one episode, or not season one. I'm so used to saying season one. Season two, episode two of Gotham, Rise of the Villains. Knock, knock.